Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News.
I can't believe I'm going to say this one out loud, but here goes. The socialists got it right again? Zoran Mamdani, America's most hated politician, or beloved, depending on who you ask. The socialist mayor of New York has now banned the use of AI for students up until the eighth grade. If a socialist does a good thing, you still have to give him credit for it? Yeah, you know, you still do.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News. Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We're here for public forum.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
All of this was discussed throughout these years, and very few people were in this room. We had a campaign, and this became a campaign point. And the Tuesday after that campaign, the room was full. All of a sudden, people were engaged. There has been financials put into this. There's been a lot of staff time. There has been a lot of planning over the years. This is not a knee-jerk reaction that someone woke up and decided to do.
So I'm feeling a little bit awkward this morning, and I'll tell you why, is because I get to slash have to go on the radio and say, I agree with Sherry Chapman. Now, if you don't know who Sherry Chapman is, she is one of the founding members of the Pitchfork Posse. I've met her in person. She's super sweet in person. She's, you know, one of the Santa Rosa busybodies who's always got an opinion about everything. And I probably agree with her. Well, this might be the first time. I don't know. But what do I always tell you? People who can be wrong 1,000 times, if they're right 1,001, then you got to give them credit when they're right. And, you know, people who are right 1,000 times, when they're wrong on 1,001, you got to say they're wrong when they're wrong. And so when talking about the boardwalk project and the convention space or the event space and the walk over all in Navarre Beach, and yes, I don't know that this is the only thing going on in Santa Rosa County, but it kind of feels like it if you watch the meetings. And at yesterday's committee meeting, she was one of the first to speak. Trust me, there are others. But basically, she's saying this is a good project, and where y'all been for all these years?
I go down to Navarre Beach quite a bit. I would like a boardwalk. There, if you are in any kind of groups, it's hard to find venues on the south end that are not hooked to a bar or something like that in order to hold a meeting. So I'm not really against the meeting.
And she goes on to say that, you know, basically all y'all are coming up here making arguments about how this is developing the beach and it's destroying what makes Navarre Beach special. But every single one of you live in a house that somebody else at one time previously said that same thing about. And every single one of you go to activities on the beach at a place that was built despite the opposition of people who said, don't build anything, you're destroying what this beach is. And so y'all are enjoying the benefits of being the ones who got into the gated community. It's not gated, but you get the analogy. But are basically like, don't let anybody in after me. Well, that doesn't seem right.
Now, everyone talks about the habitat. They had the same conversation whenever Windjammers was built, whenever everything, condo, every house on the beach was built. This was the same conversation, and we still have turtles, and we still have birds. And we still have the national shoreline. So it's not like they're going to disappear and go away. The boardwalk will actually help the dunes, as it has in many of the walkovers that we have made.
Which, you know, because people won't be climbing all over it, they'll only have the one place to walk over the, you know, the crossover, basically. But, you know, it's kind of like I've been saying all along. And listen, I don't really care about this project. It's kind of funny. I find myself attracted to issues where I think there's a lot of sort of illogical and counterfactual claims being made. And especially where, you know, mobs of angry people show up. And, hey, if the mob is right, then fine. You know, but a lot of times the mob is not right. And in this case, the mob has been saying a lot of things that I understand why they're saying it, but I just don't think that they're correct in it. And the more worked up they are, the more I wonder how much they actually know about the project. I've said many times when people talk about it, and I should say this, when people talk about it as like, you know, you're going to destine Navarre Beach, you're going to turn Navarre Beach into Panama City. If I actually believe that's what was happening, I'd be with her. I'd be with you. I just don't believe that's what's happening. And that's why I kind of sit there and scratch my head. I'm like, what do you guys actually know about this? Because what I know about this doesn't look anything like Pensacola Beach or Panama City or Destin. What are you talking about? So, and, you know, they don't show up with pictures, so I don't know for sure that they know. I have pictures of what it's supposed to be, and, the bids are going to come back, and I know what it's supposed to look like, and I don't look at that and think, oh, my God, it's Destin. So if I thought that, I'd be with you. I don't think that, so I'm not with you. But, you know, I find myself on the radio talking about how, you know, it's a good project and these people are mistaken. Maybe the commissioners, when they actually get the bids back, they all say, screw it, we're not doing it. I find myself attracted to issues where I think there's reason and evidence being ignored. And again, it feels super odd. I'm just, you know, I'm here with a frequent mob member, Sherry Chapman, saying Sherry's got it right.
I'm all for telling people you need to be here. Don't come late on the bus. You're going to miss it. And I have been coming to these meetings, and I was at every meeting that this was discussed at. And there was only one person that came in 2025 that had any objection at all. So, you know, I don't think that just because people show up today that yesterday should be erased. It might be altered some, but it certainly shouldn't be erased.
And that's a really interesting point. I think she said it just right. If we've been working on this issue for a couple of years and y'all finally have showed up, it's not that we should just throw out all the work that's been done. Where have you been all this time? It's also not that we should just ignore you. I mean, you know, they are a part of the community that is concerned about this and worked up. And, you know, they claim everybody's against it. I always want to ask, you know, every time they make that claim, against what? Do you know what you're talking about? Have you seen the pictures? Because they are available. Sharon Karen is one of the people that showed up angry and opposed. Okay, the ones who do not want this project done.
The advertising company hired by the Tourist Council at $1 million, what a waste of money. Even said the draw to Navarre Beach by the tourists was the peacefulness and the undeveloped and tranquility of our beach. So why destroy what?
And by the way, she's exactly right. In the TDC meeting, the people who were talking about the ad campaigns and the success of the beach, they were saying that what makes Navarre Beach unique and appealing is precisely that it's pristine and natural and not built up. She 100%. She got that right.
So why destroy what God blessed us with? Why look like all the other commercialized beaches around us? If we all looked the same, then what would be the draw to Navarre? They got Pensacola, they got Destin, they got Panama City. They've got a lot. There's a lot of that stuff. We have the only beach that's still pristine, and that is worth something just to keep it natural. Every time, you know, if there's a freaking tree, let's chop it down and put a house. Let's do something. But anyway.
And again, if I thought that that's what was happening, I would be with her. I just don't think that's what's happening. And I think it's an exaggeration to say that they're turning it into Panama City or Destin.
So why should we look like all the other commercialized beaches around us? Doesn't make sense. Destin folks come to enjoy our beach and they say, fight for what? fight for your beach, your beautiful beach. Don't let them do to you what they did to us. If you commercialize our beach, you will destroy our paradise and will never get it back to the way it was. Hear our voices. When will you hear Navarre residents' voices? Don't destroy Navarre Beach.
Have you ever heard a non-profanity sound like profanity? That's pretty effective. I actually agree with the expression. You know, what did she say? Don't destin?
It's voices. Don't destin Navarre Beach.
Don't destin Navarre Beach. I agree. And this isn't. So we should be good. But again, I don't know what the county commissioners are going to do. I don't know what the bids are going to come back as. And you know what Sherry mentioned is right. There's been a lot of money and effort sunk into this. And you know, one of the things that I would just encourage the opponents on this one, the people who are angry and showing up at these meetings, is do you think that the county staff don't understand this? Now, I know we're in a time in America where trust in government and confidence in government and the willingness to think outside your own personal moral high ground is not super common. But just sincerely, do you think that the people in the county government hate Navarre Beach and don't understand it and want to destroy it and want to ruin it? Now, if you believe that, it's real easy to believe all the other things that you're saying. But if you actually know any of these people, which I do, they care deeply about keeping Santa Rosa a less developed place, about keeping it kind of what it's always been. They also are worried or concerned and want to avoid making it into what you are afraid they're going to make it into. And the commissioners care about this. The staff care about this. They're all very capable, competent people. And so in order for you to have your position about what you think is going to happen as a result of this project, you not only have to believe that, you know, everybody's lying to you about the project, you also have to believe that all these people are, you know, wicked, terrible, evil, incompetent, don't love Santa Rosa County and want to ruin the thing that makes it special. And they don't. So, again, I just make a request, you know, think about your views. Think about the possibility that you might be wrong. I think about it all the time, too. Am I wrong? Are these people right? Are they recognizing something? Or were they worked up into a political frenzy by, one or a few people and also a social media misinformation campaign? And that makes more sense to me. Like, I basically think these aren't, you know, wicked people. I think they're poorly informed. At least I suspect it because I don't have evidence to the contrary. And I think there's been a lot of misinformation thrown around on social media. So 522 on News Radio 92.3. And when I say trust me, there's more to come on this at 710. There is more to come on this at 710. Ray Eddington engaged in what I can only describe one of the greatest of all Ray's rants episodes ever. Just trust me. So that'll be at 720. 522 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you're finally off the clock after a long day, dishes put away, kids asleep, feet kicked up, heartburn. Don't let heartburn take over your hard-earned moment. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Nothing works faster for heartburn relief. Alka-Seltzer effervescent tablets begin neutralizing stomach acid in seconds, so you can get back to your one more episode marathon. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Because nothing works faster for heartburn relief. Use as directed.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
If you remember listening to this, and this, then remember this. COVID hasn't gone away. And if you're an adult with conditions like diabetes, asthma, or heart disease, it can cause serious setbacks. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about the latest COVID vaccine. It's one of the best ways to help protect yourself. Find out more at PfizerForAll.com. Pfizer, outdo yesterday.
Hi, this is Jeff Culhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. This is News Radio 92.3, your home for the Noles. Informative, local, dependable.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. After that huge win over the weekend, the Argos have put themselves into the rankings now officially for the Division I FCS. I still think they're probably not getting quite as much credit as they deserve, having beaten number 16 ranked Southern Illinois, and they are now out of the top 25, and also having beaten Central Arkansas, who was number 24, I think, at the time, knocked them out of the top 25. They are the first team in Division I history to win their first two games in Division I, which is crazy. I mean, it really is. It's a little bit crazy. It's never happened. You know, I would bet. Okay, I don't want to undervalue the significance of that historic accomplishment, but you do have to ask yourself the question, how many times has a team started Division I with two games against ranked opponents? Probably not that common of a thing, but still pretty amazing, the accomplishment. And I love how the story I was reading says, both Southern Illinois and Central Arkansas have dropped out of the top 25. I'd say knocked out. I wouldn't say drop down. Not like they voluntarily decided not to continue pursuing their degree in top 25 rankings. They got beaten pretty handily. Well, Southern Illinois was fairly close, but, you know. And so now we're going to play number 15, Austin Peay. We got three games in a row against ranked opponents. Welcome to Division I, Argos. 526 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? I'm going to tell you something now. I'm trying to think of what it was off the top of my head. I actually have show notes for a reason. This is UWF puts on lectures that I think are actually really interesting. And sometimes, you know, I actually have in my, like, bag of things that I have never put on the show, I have a couple of old lectures that they did, like, last year and even the year before that were really good on subjects that were terribly interesting. I listened to them. I marked out all the places to cut the audio. I just never have done it. Cutting audio, you know, like I put sound clips on the air for you, that takes an enormous amount of time. I'm just telling you, it takes a long time to do. And I just have never gotten around to it, which makes me sad because they're really good speeches. But this time, coming up on September 17th, so a week from Friday, Thursday, September 17th, UWF is hosting three free public lectures related to Constitution Day, which, you know, that's pretty cool. It's not 250 for the Constitution because the Constitution came along later than 1776, but anyway, whatever. It's still a good celebration. At noon, Dr. Paul DeHart, professor of political science at Texas State University, is going to present on the topic, Is There No Virtue Among Us? Interest, Ambition, and the Common Good in the Framers' Constitutional Design. Oh, man, that's going to be nerd stuff. I love it. It sounds fantastic. The role of self-interest, ambition, and virtue in the U.S. Constitution, especially drawing on the debates like Madison's Notes, I'm sure, and, you know, the Federalist Papers, Anti-Federalist Papers. At 3 o'clock, Professor DeHart is going to be joined by another guy, James Hankins, professor of humanities in the Hamilton School for Classical and Civic Education at the University of Florida, and they're going to do a public forum, Federalists or Anti-Federalists, the verdict after 250 years. Love it. That's a great topic. And then at 6:30, there's going to be the second guy, James Hankins, is going to present on the Constitution and the Western Republic tradition, and they're going to talk about the other republics that the Founding Fathers studied before they formed our Constitution, you know, Rome, Venice, the Netherlands, Great Britain or the British Commonwealth, Florence. So just if you are a history or political science or just kind of a smart person that wants to hear from smart people, that's going to be fascinating. Again, that comes up a week from Thursday, September 17th for Constitution Day at UWF. So love that idea. Oh, there was something I was going to tell you about. You know, every day in my show prep, I make a list of all of the things that it is like today in history, you know, kind of stuff. And it's whose birthdays and all of that. And yesterday, I did this, and I completely, as I often do, and yet I completely failed to tell you about the very interesting historical notes that were taking place yesterday, because there were several of them, and I just, you know, failed because I don't always have the time. It was the birthday of St. Augustine, 1565. So 461 years, St. Augustine, Florida, was founded by Spanish Admiral and Florida's first governor, Pedro Menendez de Avilés. And congratulations to them, 6 years after Pensacola. So, you know, well done. I saw them all over social media bragging about it. They like to do that. The Pledge of Allegiance yesterday, first recited. Take a guess, PJ. What year was the pledge first said? I know
not
it's
as
a weird
early
one.
As you think.
What's that?
I said, I bet you not as early as you think.
What's your guess?
During the Eisenhower administration.
That's a really good guess, because that's when, like, Under God came into the pledge. Yeah. That's when Under God went on the coins fighting the godless communists. 1892. I was kind of surprised it was that early, too. I was thinking it was maybe like the 30s, you know.
Okay.
But, yeah. You also had the Honda Point disaster in 1923. If you don't know this story, 9 U.S. Navy destroyers ran aground in California. 7 were lost, 23 sailors killed, because they basically got off of their markings and they were doing an exercise to simulate war, and they didn't believe where they were, and they were going fast to simulate war, and they didn't want to slow down to take actual soundings, and so they just ran right into the ground and beached all these ships and destroyed them. A couple of them stayed back, disobeying the order to go fast with the ships.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. New Hampshire chooses its candidates to run for the seat of retiring Democratic Senator Gene Shaheen. Fox's Madeline Rivera has more.
This is one of the biggest matchups that could determine control of the chamber in November. Congressman Chris Pappas was able to fend off a challenge from Democratic Socialist Karishma Mansour. He won by a pretty big gap, clinching about 65% of the vote. Pappas will face former Senator John Sununu, who easily won the Republican nomination.
And Sununu defeated former Senator Scott Brown. Dallas is setting for the first of its kind midterm convention hosted by Republicans and headlined by President Trump. And American tennis star Ben Shelton wins a five-set thriller on ESPN over defending champ Carlos Alcaraz in the latest match ever at the U.S. Open, ending at 3:33 a.m. Eastern Time. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 75 degrees here across the area. Tempers flared yesterday at the Santa Rosa County Board of Commissioners committee meeting after a string of Navarre residents spoke out against the proposed Navarre Beach Boardwalk and Event Center. Commissioner Ray Eddington, whose district includes Navarre Beach, was asked to respond. He did not hold back.
You bunch of hypocrites, backstabbers. Mr. Light, I feel sorry for you when you sit in this seat. They will do you the same way.
The project has drawn opposition at back-to-back commission meetings, with a change.org petition now topping 8,000 signatures. State lawmakers are drafting sweeping reforms to the Department of Children and Families after a grand jury investigation found what it called heartbreaking systemic patterns of neglect and operational failure. Senator Don Gates says proposed changes include requiring law enforcement, not DCF contractors, to investigate abuse allegations, giving parents stronger rights to challenge agency decisions in court, and requiring the DCF secretary to personally approve any request to terminate parental rights. Gates says the reforms are inspired by the case of Kenley Zuroff, a Santa Rosa County girl recently reunited with her mother after being removed from her home for 2.5 years. Now, police are looking for a vehicle involved in a drive-by shooting outside of a Pensacola smoothie shop. That happened on Sunday night outside the Vibes and Smoothies on North 9th Avenue. Officers say somebody in a white vehicle fired 5 to 8 shots into a crowd. A woman was hit and suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Police say she did not appear to have been targeted. It is 5:33. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a nice, mostly sunny sky day today with just a 10% chance of rain, high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Thursday, 70% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Heading into Friday, 70% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 76. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, we've got Partly cloudy skies, 75 degrees. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Anthropic safety researcher Evan Hubinger said there is a greater than 10% chance that AI could kill all humans within the next decade. Another Anthropic researcher, Jacob Coxon, said he has resigned, accusing leading AI labs of racing towards superintelligence without adequate safeguards. And that's according to CNBC. Google says it will invest just over $15 billion into AI infrastructure in Finland, marking the tech giant's largest single investment in Europe. Finland has emerged as a key location for data centers amid the AI boom, with hyperscalers and developers eyeing its available land and power. Shares of Corning and Qualcomm rallied and brought a host of AI-related stocks along with them, as a pair of infrastructure deals lifted Wall Street's confidence that data center spending will remain strong. Chipmakers Intel and Advanced Micro Devices gained 9 and 6% respectively, while Hewlett-Packard Enterprise climbed 8%. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Billy Anderson here at Anderson Subaru in Pensacola, and we're excited to announce an incredible 75-month financing on four of our most popular models. Ascent, Crosstrek, Forester, and Outback. Combined with low end-of-summer rates, it's the perfect time to get behind the wheel of a new Subaru. Get 0.9% APR financing for 75 months on Ascent models, the family-sized SUV with flexible seating for up to 8, and 1.9% APR financing for 75 months on the redesigned Outback. Or get 2.9% APR financing for 75 months on Subaru Crosstrek models. And 2.9% APR financing for 75 months on Subaru Forester models. Flexible long-term financing, low rates, and legendary reliability and longevity. Even more reason to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Ever notice how the best advice usually comes from someone who actually does this stuff for a living? That's the idea behind Pet Talk, also known as the Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9.
Good morning, this is Pet Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg.
Meg sits down with local business owners and professionals to talk real solutions, real experience, and real life questions. Pet Talk with Meg,
weekdays 9 to 11
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, informative,
local,
dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. Joining us in studio, Scambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Doing great. Let's talk about some crime and incidents before we get to the two kind of, you know, big questions that we need to talk about. Number one, y'all had a fairly substantial fentanyl bust off of a traffic stop.
We did, yeah. One of our deputies was in the Wedgwood area, saw a car that had a bad tag light on it, couldn't see a tag. Stopped the car, and we ran a canine around it, Canine Roland, who was named after one of our fallen deputies. And we found not one but 2 kilos of fentanyl.
Okay.
And it was tested positive for fentanyl. So 2,100 wow. grams of fentanyl. And as you know, they talk about how little fentanyl it takes to be a potentially fatal dose.
Right.
And in this situation that we calculated, it could conceivably have killed over 1 million people. That's a really substantial arrest. And we also seized $22,000. Two people were arrested. Their names escape me right now, one of which was in the country illegally. And so once he's dealt with his trafficking and fentanyl charges, I'm assuming he'll be deported.
You know, opioid-related deaths are down in the country. I haven't looked, and so I apologize for not knowing, but are local incidents down substantially, significantly? I always think of this as part of the core also retreating, but, you know, it seems to be declining.
Yes. The last figures I looked at, the EMS would have all of the numbers.
Right.
The medical examiners obviously would have those numbers. But as last I heard, they were declining the last couple of years. We were at one point the number one county in, I think, the state of Florida. Mm. And we're, as far as I could tell, we're no longer the number one state, but the number one county. But I will tell you that we've made fentanyl our number one priority. And we've partnered very well with the DEA and the FDLE. Because there's some grants associated with fentanyl investigations, and we certainly appreciate our partnerships, and I think it's paying dividends. As you can tell, this was a traffic stop,
right?
But man, that's a lot of fentanyl that would have been in our community, cut up obviously to make it more available to people.
You know, and I know some people who are, I would say, generally anti-law enforcement, they talk about the problem of pretextual stops, which is, you know, stopping a car for a seemingly minor thing. But, you know, man, when I've done the ride-alongs, the seemingly minor things often are what you find major things and thwart major crimes because of, right? Because, you know, criminals don't maintain their car, and you pull them over for, you know, the license plate is out, and you wind up finding a massive amount of drugs, right?
That's right. Yeah, we're not forced as law enforcement officers to ignore violations just because you suspect there also might be something else in the car.
Yeah.
If you know a guy was had warrants on him, but he runs a red light, we're not forced to ignore that red light, but just because we have other information. Obviously, proactive law enforcement that takes place, and in this case, obviously, very good proactive law enforcement.
You mentioned the canine. What was the canine's name involved?
Roland.
Roland. Okay. The canine name is always on the windshield, right, of the canine units,
yes,
up in the front. Because right. I know at our church we had Streeter was out there. I'm like, oh, I know that one.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so
he's the jumper.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. He was the famous one. He made the radio. So the other story. A fight at the Whataburger over too many pickles. What happened? This is on 29 Kingsfield.
Yeah. Apparently after the Tate High School game, some juveniles, some youths had gathered around the Whataburger in the parking lot right next to it. And at one point there was a disturbance and one guy pulled a gun. I think the manager, as reported, the manager or someone, one of the employees grabbed him and then they fled. So we're still looking for it. We should be ready to gather the from corporate.
The manager grabbed the guy who had drawn the gun?
That's my understanding.
All right. Hero.
And corporate has the video, so we're going to get that today. Hopefully we can get that today, and we'll be able to sort this out and probably get the information about, first of all, if a crime was committed, if it's committed as reported.
Yeah.
And then we can figure out what takes place. But, you know, everyone says, is this one of those takeovers? Well, typically those takeovers are publicized and advertised over on social media, and it's called "Come over here, let's take it over." I think that it's been my experience that teenagers, young adults, have been gathering at parking lots of restaurants since the 50s.
Yeah, right.
American graffiti.
Since there have been parking lots. Yeah.
So before that,
it was at the pond, or was it the field, or was it the barn, or was
I don't recall those times. Yeah. That's too much. Too much Andy Griffith for you, I guess.
Teenagers gather in places with each other. Have you heard? Right?
Yeah. It's a thing. And it's been a thing again since the Fonz would do it.
At Al's?
Yeah.
Al's nice. Nice. Wow, you're old. I'm old enough to remember, too.
I am.
Fair enough. I want to talk to you about Stand Your Ground for just a second. This Walmart story, basically this guy is... It's a parking dispute, and he just won't let it go and deliberately comes back to this woman two different times after parking his car several miles away and comes back. And she's basically, you can see her on the video, retreating, saying, stop it, leave me alone, you know, go away. Everybody's yelling at him to stop it, leave him. And finally, she's had enough, and she shoots him in the belly. I think he's dead. Somebody texted me that I hadn't seen that report, but I think the guy died. And they didn't charge her because stand your ground, right? You do not have if somebody is threatening you, you do not have the obligation to retreat, right? Simple?
Yeah, no, I'm obviously any loss of life is tragic.
Right.
But you have the right, and to me, you have the obligation to protect your family. And if you reasonably think, we talk about reasonableness all the time.
All the time. Yeah,
you and I do. And if you have you reasonably believe that you or someone else is in danger, you can defend yourself. Here's the thing. When someone has a gun or they're telling you to stop, because the consequences can be severe.
And I mean, some people, I guess the switch just gets flipped and they can't control themselves or something. But, you know, this is like, this could have taken an off-ramp 10 different ways.
Well, I think some people are just used to being bullies. Some people are used to, you're not going
to hurt
me.
How dare you talk to me that way?
I don't think you're going to do anything. You know, that don't scare me type of thing.
Well, it only scared him one time, you know. I mean, you know, it did not have to be this way. You and I spent a lot of time talking because last Monday was when Governor DeSantis had made his comments about flock cameras. Then FDOT issued their instruction that within 30 days, all the flock cameras have to go away. The automated license plate readers, ALPRs, have to go away on state roads. There was a question when you and I talked on Tuesday of what you were going to do. But man, you know, once the dam broke here locally, you know, Santa Rosa said they wouldn't do it anymore. You guys said you wouldn't do it anymore. Gulf Breeze and Pensacola. So basically our two county area. I still haven't heard anything official from Milton, so I do not know. But do you know, has Milton made an announcement?
They may not have any.
They may not have. Oh, that's true. They may not have any. But okay, so what was the thing that changed in your mind from, you know, 7:40 a.m. last Tuesday to like 11 a.m. last Tuesday?
Well, we had a rather extensive conversation. I mentioned then that these are the things that I was contemplating. We knew we had to pull down the ones from the state. We knew that would diminish our system. We knew that other areas, other sheriff's offices, a lot of sheriff's offices actually pulled them or either suspended them or discontinued them throughout the state. I also knew that the Florida Sheriff's Association was going to in our next legislative session, talk about some potential legislation regarding them, protections and some level of comfort for the agencies, but also for the population that we serve. And so I thought, you know what, our system is diminished because local areas aren't doing it anymore. And so, again, it starts to chip away 100% of our system, and then 66% of our system, and then 50%. So about half as effective as it would have been, and the numbers are still declining. And so I thought, you know what, why don't we put a hold on this? Why don't we suspend the use of these systems until we can get some clarity and we can get some level, again, of comfort with regards to the people that we serve? Because it matters how people think they're being policed. It matters to me, and it should matter to the community. They need to have a level of comfort with regards to that. So there's a couple things here. One, there's the privacy issue, and the courts have kind of ruled that everything I've read, they've ruled that it's constitutional. It's not there's nothing wrong with video capturing something on a public roadway. But then there's this distrust of the company, of corporates, of what are they going to do with the information? Are they going to sell it? And then there's this, you know, are we going to be allowed to put these cameras on county roadways and state roadways? And so I say, no, why don't we pull it and let's see if there's a legislative remedy for this, potentially a judicial remedy for this. And then, again, most of all, a level of comfort with regards to Escambia County citizens. I will tell you, I still maintain that it is the best tool that I've ever seen in law enforcement. I still think that there might be an avenue forward, and we're going to work with that. In fact, I leave next week for the legislative session, Florida Sheriff's Association, and we'll potentially learn a little bit more about what they're going to be pushing for.
You know, Sheriff Johnson yesterday said that he just thinks it's dead. He thinks, not because he prefers it that way, but he thinks that there's nobody's going to be willing to touch it and really bring it back because the public is so negative about them and the pushback is so huge. Do you think there's a chance that with reforms it gets reinstituted in Florida?
I think that you'd have to give the people this thought that it is, again, the businesses that we sign contracts with. There has to be a level of trust. You know, how much trust do we have in Apple versus whatever other companies, Microsoft, whatever we have? I think we say, you know what, I trust them, so I'm giving them all my information, or I give it all to my bank. We got to get to that level or no. I don't think that we will. However, I don't think that technology is going backwards. I do not think that there's not going to be more cameras, just as there's cameras in my house, in your house, and businesses. I think that eventually those cameras will have more and more AI technology, potentially even bordering on facial recognition type of technology. So I think that there will be a use, law enforcement use, even if it's you're the victim of a crime and you provide that video to me. I just don't know if it's going to be in the same form that it was before. Now, again, you made mention last week, and I know I'm monopolizing some of your time.
That's fine. That's what we're having this conversation.
You made a conversation or the topic last week about does it mean that there's no toll booths? Does it mean that there's no red light cameras and all that sort of thing? Those are all things
that
will be addressed.
Yeah.
And again, I think that the people have to have a level of comfort with those as well.
You know, you asked me, I thought, a really great question. I think it was last Tuesday. You said, well, what do you want? You know, what would be the rules? And, you know, since then I've had a fair amount of time to think about it. The ones I've been talking about are things like, okay, so if there's a list of license plates that are, you know, you already have warrants and investigations on, that's like the no-fly list is kind of what I think of. I don't have any problem with you retaining that information. But if somebody's not on that list, it seems like, okay, you can collect it, but it ought to flush out of the system. I don't know. I asked Eric Winstrom about this, and he said within a couple of hours is the primary use. Like if it's, you know, there are a couple of cases where older than 3 or 4 hours is not is useful, but if you kept it for, say, 4 hours, you know, that would let you do 90% of the uses you have for the license plate readers. So I would be comfortable with warrants, a very limited amount of retention of the non-identified license plates. And obviously a lot of people are concerned about the reselling of the data or the management of the data and that kind of stuff. You know, if I saw that in place, I'd probably be okay. Cause I see the massive crime fighting value. I do. And especially for lost kids and silver alerts and all that kind of stuff. Do those reforms seem plausible to you?
No, they do. I was just contemplating some things about that I've heard, some complaints. One's misuse by law enforcement. And I think to your point,
I'm not real. I mean, I don't want the rogue cop, you know, surveilling her boyfriend
right,
or whatever.
Who does, right.
But I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the government itself using these cameras through cooperative or compliant law enforcement for nefarious things. I'm not worried about the one person. I'm worried about the actual people in charge making choice. That's what worries me.
Yeah, you know, let me give you like an example. We used to be able to ping phones. You know, if we were looking for someone and we knew they had a phone, we could ping them or try to find a location a little quicker. And then they changed it up some and made it obviously more restrictive. We have to get a search warrant for that, which is fine with me. I totally understand that. Unless there's an Amber Alert, you know, we could do an emergency order and then we go back and we get the after the fact type of thing. I am comfortable with only using them on those crimes that reach a certain level. That you
felonies,
can use them
exigent
for,
circumstances,
forcible felonies, even.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe stolen cars, but something that's at a certain level. I'm comfortable with that. I know that it would cause more work for the sheriff's office, cause more work for law enforcement, cause more work for a judge that's on duty,
sure,
or on call. But I think that is a level of comfort. I think that as a citizen, I would be comfortable with. The issue is going to be, how do we protect the citizens from the company itself?
Sure.
You know, but that's, how do we do that to Apple? How do we protect them from all these things? There are safeguards in place for those things and rather severe punishments if those are done. So I do think that there may be an avenue forward. I think that it's going to be a lot of curtailing of what's working. We have some rather stringent, we had some rather stringent policies and procedures in place already. I talked about double authentication. We talked about retention was reduced from a year to 30 days. I can live
and now
with
seven even. I think Flock had said seven.
Days, right.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about a couple hours, to be honest with you. I think that it needs to be more effective than that. But I can certainly live with a 48 hour. I can live whatever it would take to have that level of comfort and to have this technology. I think is worth it.
You know, I really wanted to talk with you about DCF, but we're out of time, which is fine. This is, I think, an important topic for us to also talk about. But you are very proud of the Real-Time Crime Center.
Right.
And I've seen it, you know, in use, okay, or at least in monitoring mode. You mentioned the diminishment of your ability because of the loss of the state roads, what that means for your overall network. If your Real-Time Crime Center is operating at a 100% capacity, however you define that, what capacity is it operating at now that you do not have these fixed position automatic license plate readers?
So the Real-Time Crime Center works very well with, we have other surveillance
cameras.
Sure,
lots of stuff.
They don't track tags and that sort of thing. But we also have other things. We have access to cameras in schools. So the Real-Time Crime Center itself is probably only diminished slightly, but the ability as an investigator to do a follow-up has been diminished greatly.
Okay.
And our ability to move forward with this robust technology that we had foreseen, where all of it integrates, within itself to include ShotSpotter, even though that's kind of
going away,
now as well. But we're going to maintain our real-time crime center. It's still going to be certainly a benefit to the citizens of Escambia County. But again, and there may well be a way forward with some of the options that we talked about a second ago.
Very good, Sheriff Chip Simmons. As always, appreciate you, sir. And just to be clear, in case somebody didn't catch it last week, this was not like this sudden major reversal. You had already been internally talking about this, thinking about this, debating it, and especially with the conversations, paying attention, listening to people, which I appreciate. And I want to give you credit for that. People from the outside might be like, oh, he totally caved. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's how it worked at all. And I
We've
know
been
you
talking
better
about
than
it
that.
For months. Yeah. Really. Yeah. We just, the governor obviously changed.
Excellent.
Things.
And we'll talk about DCF next week. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time and keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.
Oh, a funny story, too. Yesterday, I was at the chamber luncheon, and I had a woman come up to me, a friend, and she said, you know, when you were talking to Chip Simmons today about the canines, I'm like, yeah. She says, I was literally turning into, I think it was her subdivision, and at the moment we were talking about Streeter, that was the canine unit that was coming out of her subdivision. She's like, oh, my God, talk about timely. I thought, wow, that's great. That's such cool. He is a rock star. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are almost new but not brand new. Like you're going to be probably the first, not the first, but probably the second, maybe the third owner, 10 to 30,000 miles, 1 to 3 years young. That's what they specialize in. Cars that they then warranty, if they're late model cars, to 100,000 miles or 10 years, whichever comes first. But they just take care of you. They try to do it differently. They try to be the place where, they're going to be people. They're going to treat you like friends instead of, prey. You know how it feels a lot of times when you go to the car dealership and you're like, oh, man, I hope I get out of here with my skin intact. Well, at Frontier, it's like, you kind of want to come back because they just treat you well. That was my experience. And we bought a car inadvertently. I mean, like we were just going to test drive a car and we wound up buying a car because the deal was so good and the people were so nice. And turns out after the fact that, I kind of got lucky because they do good things afterwards that are really nice too. So anyway, I just recommend you go try them. It's a great place to start your car buying experience. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Every piece of jewelry has a story. Some start with a yes. Some start with, this belonged to my grandmother. Some start with, can we turn this into something new? However the story begins, the right jeweler helps it last. With custom design, careful restoration, and engagement rings built to last generations, Beret Jewelers has helped Pensacola keep those stories shining strong. Beret Jewelers, 40 years of coastal shine.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi. But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Registration's now open for the Pensacola Beach Elks Lodge. Halloween 5K and Kids Monster Dash. Halloween morning on Pensacola Beach. Gather in Flounders and run or walk the route along Via De Luna. Bring the kids for the Monster Dash. Immediately following the 5K, kids run free with a registered adult. Costumes are encouraged, and there's an after party at Flounders. Registration is $35. Proceeds go to the local Elks charities. The Pensacola Beach Elks Lodge. Halloween 5K and Kids Monster Dash. Halloween morning on Pensacola Beach. Register now at runpensacola.com.
Planning for retirement isn't easy. If you don't know where to start, join Andrew McNair of Swan Capital every Saturday afternoon at 1 for What Your Money Would Say. Andrew shares helpful tips and strategies that just might change the course of your retirement. Tune in Saturday afternoons at 1 to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital.
Swan Capital LLC is a registered investment advisor.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative. Local. Dependable.
This conversation with Governor Henry C. Santini is brought to you by Soylent Red and Soylent Yellow. High energy vegetable concentrate and new delicious Soylent Green. The miracle food of high energy plankton gathered from the oceans of the world.
What?
Oh, terrible story out of Elsewhere, Florida, which is not actually a place, it's just how I refer to the rest of the state. You had a huge, like a 9 to 12 foot alligator attacked a child, but the child was swimming in an area that was clearly marked, no swimming, there's alligators here. So, the child survived, which is obviously the very good news. You kind of wonder what the parents were doing. But this was in Weekiwachee Preserve in Hernando County. So isn't Weekiwachee where the mermaids are? Anyway, one of the mermaids. Several victims, or several other people and the victim became isolated on a sandbar after the attack and couldn't get across the water to get safely out. So couldn't get them to the hospital. Hernando County Fire Rescue had to come in with an airboat and basically get them safely to shore and then get them over to the hospital or get that one person over to the hospital. Injuries were not considered life-threatening, but yeah, I mean, what are the problems we run into with alligators? People swimming in alligator habitat, people feeding the gators, and people having kids and pets near the water's edge. So don't do that stuff where there's gators.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 923. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.